Hello and welcome to a Collector Box Light episode on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I will be opening up a subscription box and discussing the contents. So in this episode, we're going to go over a couple of the boxes and stuff we've been getting as part of the subscription boxes, a few other things. But honestly, we're not going to have a whole lot of content in this episode because we're not getting a whole lot of boxes. We've still got three, I think, that are on the list.
I was going to say, it's more the boxes aren't arriving.
Well, we've cut down the number we're getting, and to further that, the ones we're still getting aren't arriving. We're getting the World's Finest box, which is doing okay on its cadence. We're getting the Firefly box, or did that one end?
Oh, that's a good point. We should look that up.
I forget if that one ended or not. Either way, it's not coming out particularly quickly. And we're still getting the Star Trek one, but it's barely coming out. I think they've gotten three out over the last year and a half.
Year and a half.
They've gotten one more box out than they've done seasons of Discovery.
September will be 2 years.
Yeah. So there's that. So the question is, do we continue doing these or not? We've got, frankly, one box in front of us and two or three other things that are more kind of on the collector side than the subscription side. So be interesting if the listeners kind of weigh in on should we continue this, should we not? Because right now it's going quarterly and stuff, and even at a quarterly basis, not a whole lot that's really kind of jumping out to do. And I can do more of my toys and stuff like that too. It just comes down to what do people think. So with that, we're going to start with the World's Finest box.
Mm-hmm.
This is obviously Green Lantern themed. It's got a big Green Lantern logo on it. The box is about 11 and a half inches by about 10 inches by what should have been about 5.5 inches.
Now, there are two ways to say this.
Well, that's why I said should have been.
Yes.
Because that's where the edges of the boxes go up to, but the center of the top of the box goes down at least 0.5 inch. Like it got crushed.
Now, see, you could either phrase this as the box does not appear to have been fully packed. Or, as I explained to our mother, I'm pretty sure a giant stepped on the box while it was in transit.
Either way, I get that they're not going to have things that perfectly fill the box every time, even though this is obviously a custom box for this collection of stuff. What they need to do is plan out a little better how much space it's going to take, and if it doesn't fill the space, put airbags or something in there.
Yeah.
Just from a aesthetic point of view, when you get a Green Lantern box and it's clearly been crushed,
yeah,
it doesn't make the product look as impressive as if it had been, you know, better packed.
It gives you the temptation to lightly shake it and make sure it doesn't rattle, roll.
And I totally get this is on the shipping companies and yes. Such. But you know you're shipping the box.
Yeah.
So you've got to have it be a little more structurally solid. Mm-hmm. And part of it is it's a fairly big box.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not much supporting the center of the weight and stuff, but design accordingly.
Yeah.
All right. Open it up.
Yes.
And clearly there is at least 0.5 inch to 1 inch of empty space at the top. In some areas, I'm going to say 2 inches.
The corner I'm looking towards is over 2 inches. Yeah.
Yeah. Pull the ruler back out and check. Yeah. At least 2 inches, 3 in 1 corner.
Yeah.
So that goes to, obviously they don't fully pack the box. Again, the items are going to be different sizes and such, but they could have done some sort of padding to protect the contents in the box.
Yeah.
So that having been said, let's actually take some stuff out. Start with a baseball cap that is predominantly black with a green brim and a Green Lantern logo.
Says World's Finest on the back.
Yeah. Well, it's the World's Finest box, so they're definitely branding it for their stuff. And kind of a classic Green Lantern logo and such. So, nice cap.
Yeah.
Certainly, if you're a fan of Green Lantern, I think that does well. It's an embroidered logo, I believe.
Yes, it is.
So, we've got a Green Lantern Switch cover, and its box had gotten, I guess, crushed enough to kind of pop open a little.
The light switch cover?
That's what it looks like.
Now, see, for like a kid's bedroom or a room full of collectibles, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like. It's clearly plastic, but the Switch fits within the circle part of the Green Lantern logo.
Yeah, and it came wrapped in a cellophane and
kind of a foamish thing.
Yeah, so well protected.
This is something we may eventually find a spot for. Perfect kind of a light switch to use for your comic book room. We have a Green Lantern bottle opener. It's decent weight to it, so clearly I think metal or whatever. It's all emerald green or whatever. This is something where I think if they'd done a little bit of
contrasting color
paint and stuff on it would have helped. It's kind of big and almost awkwardish in terms of it is about 3.5 inches long by 2.5 inches wide and kind of ovalish.
Yeah, well, they've got about a silver dollar size area where the lantern is above where the actual opener section is.
So, not bad.
Useful.
Yes. Well, and again, it seems strong enough to actually open bottles, not like a plastic thing that'll snap or something.
Yeah.
We've got a Green Lantern vinyl figure of Hal Jordan. It looks like it's got a Green Lantern logo behind it. And it's the classic look, so I think they did a good job with that.
But another case where the box being pressed on had popped the packaging open.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those that's not like 100% mint condition, but it's not like far off from that. But again, better packing would have been appreciated.
It's a good thing we don't need mint condition figures.
Yeah.
Black shirt with a green collar and sleeves?
Yeah, it's a black kind of jersey, baseball jersey-ish kind of a thing. With a classic-looking Green Lantern logo, Hal Jordan and such, look to it. The art...
From the 80s?
I was going to say from the 80s. It feels familiar. I'm trying to place the artist. Man, I want to say it looks from the era of Gil Kane, Jim Aparo, but I don't think it's either one of them. I can't place the artist off the top of my head. No logo on the back. The sleeves are, of course, emerald green. So it's nice. It's... one of those things that I question how well that would survive washing.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Because it's one of those, that, you know how you can feel almost, I don't say the plasticiness to it, but the texture of the...
The paint? I mean, paint's not quite the right word, but...
Yeah, almost like it's an iron-on kind of a deal. I'm sure there's a technical term for this that I just don't know.
Socks!
No, actually, no? I'm thinking like a... I was going to say like a tea towel or whatever. It's like a pouch or some such. Or a pillowcase?
Ooh. Now, pillowcase I can work with.
On the one side, it's got what looks like an Alex Ross Green Lantern image with Hal, Tamari, Kilowog, Katmatu, a bunch of other Green Lanterns in the background. This is one that I think had been like a comic book cover that he did a version of, with all their rings kind of pointing up and light blasts coming out of them. On the back, it's a black cover with the oath in green, but it's got a zip top to it, making it seem like you put padding or something in it, and it's a
pillow insert.
A pillow insert, yeah.
Yeah, if it's like 16 by 16, which is what I'm kind of guessing it is, or 12 by 12, you can go to a place like Michael's or a craft store.
How about 14?
14 by 14?
About 14 by 13.
Oh. Now that's less... No, squares are what's standard. And okay.
When we get to the answer key, I'm sure it'll tell us.
Yes.
But it's nice.
It is.
It's unclear the purpose. At first, I was thinking it was like a tea towel or something like that.
The tag so carefully gives you all the copyright information. If only it told you what the product was.
Again, we've got an answer key that I'll flip over in a minute.
But that feels like cheating.
It is cheating. The next one's another one that clearly got a little crunched. It's a fairly sizable box for a USB port, but the box is almost 6 inches by over 6 inches by 4 inches.
So you think it's like a lantern-shaped USB hub?
Well, it's funny because just looking at the box, there's absolutely no indication other than USB port what the hell it is. So I'm hoping it's a Green Lantern-looking thing.
Okay.
But this is one where they're packaging is functional, not informative, and it's very much a Green Lantern with three USB ports on one side, and that's... Oh, and then a cable coming out of it to plug into the computer. So there is a handle to it that
Got it.
Maybe...
Yeah.
Drop the answer key.
John, don't turn it right side up. That's double cheating.
All right, so the front of it is clearly where the three ports are. The plug is coming out the left side of it and goes maybe 16 inches.
Yeah, I'll give you the maybe.
It goes, I'm going to say 16 and a half if you're generous and count the entire end of the USB thing. I'm going to say 16 inches. It is connected into the thing, so you'd need an extension cable if you need it further. Only has three ports on the top, which is not much in my opinion. And if the metal handle thing, which looks like it may have been squunched a little bit, yeah, it works how it thinks it does, it's pretty much going to block, potentially, one or more of the cables. I'd be surprised if these light up the things.
That's why I was wondering, and the box doesn't address the issue.
And I don't have anything I can plug it into handy here. Only three ports is a little disappointing. It looks okay. I don't know, it looks... Like, it probably doesn't light up on the sides. It is 5.5 inches tall, about 5 inches from lantern mouth to lantern mouth, if you will. And actually, what I thought was the top is probably actually the bottom. So those are at the bottom, and it plugs in on the right.
Oh, I see. So the handle doesn't hit the cords.
Yeah,
I see.
Okay, that makes a little more sense. But I don't know. I'm trying to think. It seems like it takes up a lot of space on the desk for questionable use.
Well, and the box is lacking in information, so we don't know if it's USB 2 or 3.
I'm thinking probably 2.1, but I'm guessing wildly here. And it's standard old school USB-A connection. A more modern thing would have probably done USB-C.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I'd have had more than three ports.
Yeah.
While I like the look of it, it feels like it takes up more space than it provides value, and...
It's a showpiece, not highly functional.
Yeah, I guess even as a showpiece, though, it's not as showy, and the dimensions feel off.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If I were to go dig around and find the 1/6 or 1/4 scale, whatever the series of lanterns I got were, they look a lot cooler. This looks okay.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels kind of almost as wide as it is tall, because it's almost as wide as it is tall. And it feels like if you plug it in for your computer, you've got the less showy sides, because normally you'd be looking at the lantern kind of light on, and that's at the side to be able to get to the ports.
Yeah.
So, not bad, but not a, oh my god, that's amazing kind of a thing either. I think they've had some cooler stuff. Certainly as far as theming goes, they've nailed it so far.
So you like the light switch plate better than the USB port?
That's a tough call, because they're different kind of things. I certainly... think the light switch, which to me is a lower cost item, is a more likely to get used item. This feels like, at least for me, it would take up more space on my desktop than value it would provide. And I mean, it's one of those things, if they had gotten it to where it doubled as like a pencil holder or something like that.
Yeah.
And if they'd basically hollowed out the top of it to where you could double it as a pencil holder and it could potentially light up on the sides or something.
That'd be awesome.
And I don't think it would cost that much. You know, a couple of LEDs inside and, again, hollow out the top.
Yeah.
Or if it doubled as speakers or something.
Bluetooth speakers or, yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's seems like a $7 or $8 USB three-port hub. It's themed decently well, but not oh my god. And then finally, what I think is finally, is an art print, which is similar to but different from... the pillow cover or whatever. It's got Guy, Kyle, Hal, John, and Kilowog. What looks again like a cover with Hal's ring lighting up more than the rest. So I expect both of these have been used as covers somewhere.
Mm.
So that leaves the answer key, which is not crazy informative, and it is white text on green. So I'm going to hand it to you to read. Thank you.
You might be welcome. Logo cap, raglan tee, vinyl figure, light switch cover, lantern USB hub, ball opener, double-sided pillow cover, art print.
It would be that.
Yeah. You know, I get that. I'm just thinking that I know 12 by 12 and 16 by 16 are standard sizes, and definitely squares are standard sizes. So I think they're assuming you'll put 14 by 14 in there.
Not sure.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. But that's easy enough to do. And in terms of send you a cover to keep their shipping costs down.
Oh, I think that's smart.
$5 or $6 for the pillow insert to go inside, especially if you use a constantly available 40% off coupon for a craft store.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think that kind of thing is smart to where it's a little DIY on your side, but it's a zipper thing. You shove it in, you're done.
Yeah.
Not hard.
Well, and it has the added bonus of, as a zipper thing, it's washable.
Yes. Well, plus, again, it's space savings inside the thing.
Yeah.
So, a cap, a shirt, you know, the vinyl figure, the bottle opener, the light switch, the USB thing, the print. I feel we got some decent content. Certainly it was well-themed. None of these feel like it's just filler junk, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the things with Loot Crate, because it was such a cheaper box comparatively.
Yeah.
It felt like many of the items were low-cost items because they had to be at that kind of price point. These are a little more upscale kind of items and seem to be a little better quality, and I certainly appreciate that.
Well, and like you said, the theming is spot on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very cool.
Shall we move on?
Please.
Okay, this next thing is really three separate boxes. I placed, I think, two orders for them. They came a few months apart, but they're all kind of the same sort of thing. So I figured, since we'd forgotten to record on the first two boxes for the first quarter one, I figured, okay, well, since I got the other one that just came the other day, we'll go through all three. So each box is about 6.5 inches, 6 3/4 inches, we'll say, by 4 inches by, I don't know, 2 1/4 inches. These are all from Lineage Studios.
Okay.
I forget exactly how I found out about these. I think it was from MMPR Toys. So your first clue is it's Power Rangers related. Of course, you immediately figured that out. But I saw these and it just seemed kind of cool. So I figured, what the heck? So they obviously didn't need the full height of the box for this. It's bubble wrap.
He's making noise.
So what we've got is pins, the first of which is really 6 pins.
Lapel pins, jacket pins, not writing pins.
Pins, P-I-N's, not pens, P-E-N's, yes.
Thank you.
Things that go on clothing or backpacks or whatever. The first one is for the Legacy Power Morpher. So it's got one giant-ish pin, giant-ish being relative, being, I don't know, a little over 2 inches by wide by about 1.5 inches tall. And then circular pins that are, I don't know, 3/4 inch in diameter. For each of the 5 original Power Rangers.
Silver dollar size pin and nickel size pins?
Well, again, the Power Morpher one's more rectangular or whatever, but yeah, the other ones are roughly nickel size. So that seemed kind of cool because you can put them in the Morpher if you want or not. So one Morpher thing that the others can kind of get pinned around. And then the other one that came at the same time was the Legacy Power Morpher for the Green and White Ranger edition. So it's got kind of the gold background versus the silver background for the Morpher pin, and then the green and the White Ranger Morpher emblems.
Nice.
So I'm like, okay, those are kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first thing that came. And then the second box, which I ordered at the same time and came a little later, and I appreciate the bubble wrap around them because it keeps them protected, is basically the Master Morpher pin set, which is from the anniversary episode they did of, I guess it was Ninja Steel, where they brought back Tommy Oliver, among others, and he could morph into all of his past versions using a Master Morpher. It was the first we'd ever seen of the Master Morpher. So we've got it, plus the different ones he uses, which include both the Green and White Ranger emblems, which actually, again, had Morpher ones. It's got a Morpher-compatible pin for Dino Thunder, which used totally different morphers. One that has the Car Ranger emblem from the Sentai stuff, which is what they used for Turbo Ranger, for when he was the Red Turbo Ranger. And then kind of a Zeo one, or not Zeo, yeah, I guess it is Zeo, for when he was the Red Zeo Ranger. which again didn't have that kind of a morpher. So this is the only collectible toyish thing I know of for the Master Morpher, period.
Hmm.
Another company has made coins that are compatible with the toy morpher and such for some of these, which I think I've ordered and we may have even discussed on the previous episode. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then another box just came a day or two ago. Matter of fact, this is what you brought yesterday. And it has the Lord Drakon power coin set. It's the evil version of Tommy Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's compatible. These pins fit inside the other Morpher pins that we now have three variants of. And then they also have done a Ninjetti power coin pin set for the essentially second season of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers when they had the different set of powers.
Ah.
So you got all those. So I thought these were kind of cool and worth picking up. Many of these I've got actual power coin toys or whatever, because they actually did a set of those for the toys officially. And then a few of these other companies have kind of filled in the gap to do. It'll be interesting to see with Hasbro if they continue doing those kinds of things or whatnot. These are officially licensed products, but and it does look like they were from a Hasbro license. So that's, yeah, I wanted to make sure that wasn't something that was going to like suddenly discontinue or whatever. But I saw these online and thought they were pretty cool, so I figured, what the heck. Not that I need a lot of pins or whatever, but...
No, but they're good looking.
Yeah, they're professionally done. They've got really good quality. They seem, you know, show accurate for the design. Obviously, they didn't have the pins or whatever. But like I said, I thought it was pretty cool and a nice thing, you know, for... I know some people like putting pins on their lanyards or backpacks or whatever when they go to conventions and such.
Yeah.
These are the sorts of things, if you're into Power Rangers, you may want to consider.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And the price on these things is not on the packing list they've got in front of me. It just tells me what was in the box and not the prices. How thoughtful of them. Yeah, none of them say. I don't recall them being crazy expensive. They weren't like dirt cheap either, so a couple of bucks or whatever, obviously. But enough that it was pretty much a no-brainer. Yeah, I can swing that.
Cool.
That's that. Okay, the envelopes we have in front of us now are, I don't know, about 10 inches by about 7.5 inches by, I don't know, inch or two tall. And these are ones that came much earlier this year than, I guess it was last year, year before. These, hopefully, and I'm pretty sure they are Comic-Con badges. So we got San Diego Comic-Con, 50 years.
Black box,
nice gold thing, very celebratory in that. I do want to point out, it says San Diego Comic-Con. They're still branding themselves that way. They're still using the SDCC.
Instead of Comic-Con International.
Instead of Comic-Con International. Nothing right or wrong about it, but in terms of branding, they've got some confusion on their identity.
Well, they get annoyed when people hashtag SDCC because they've asked them to hashtag CCI. But when you put San Diego Comic-Con on your box... You're encouraging people.
It's even more than that. If you get a booth at Comic-Con, if you look at the exhibitor registration form, all the fine print, they abbreviate themselves as SDCC.
Yeah. It's confusing to people.
So they're still self-identifying that way. And then...
The front flap does say San Diego Comic-Con International.
Yeah, it's got the regular logo.
Yeah.
They've got Prime Video plus Comic-Con on the top of the inside flap. They're advertising The Boys. I've got a pin that is the logo from the top, but because it's all shiny and such, the top part of it is not, at least to my eyes, legible.
I got a different pin, I think, because I got San Diego's Golden State Comic-Con, the historical pin.
You did?
I think there's supposed to be 4 pins this year.
Interesting.
Well, let me rephrase that. I think they may have done 1 pin for each decade, but I only recall 4. Like, one's a toucan pin. Forget what the other one is.
Well, it's interesting because you would think after 50 Comic-Cons, they'd been around 50 years and they have not been.
Yeah.
They did at least 2 years where they did 2 conventions. Mm. One was a pre-con to Comic-Con. The other they did twice in, I forget which year. That was back like in the 70s. So I actually have the 4-day badge. Obviously, they're promoting, not obviously, but they're promoting Walking Dead. We've got the self-affix press banner thing at the back. There's a sticker there, which may or may not be the RFID sticker.
No, it's to block your barcode. Because what was happening in the past was people's badges would flip around. Someone else would get a picture that had their badge flipped around showing in it, could blow it up, and could scan the barcode.
Wow. I mean, I can totally see how that could happen. I'm surprised it did. Disappointed. And then we've got a Comic-Con International little booklet welcoming us to this historic year of our 50th Comic-Con. Again, that implies 50 years.
Yeah, but it's phrased carefully. A historic year, our 50th Comic-Con.
Yeah, but... And maybe it's true, because I think they've actually done 52 things if you look at the Wikipedia page, some of which were not Comic-Con.
Well, and aren't they counting this Golden State Comic-Con before they were San Diego Comic-Con to get to part of the 50 years?
I'd have to go check the Wikipedia page. They've been around for a long time, and nothing to sneeze at regardless.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got information on the badges, how to tap in, tap out, how to replace it if you need to, where to pick up the lanyard and the bag, the book.
And you're right, the sticker is also the RFID.
Yeah.
So they just were careful in where they placed it.
Information on the publications they're going to have. It'd be nice to know when they become available electronically. They do have 4 pins, and it's funny, the 2 we got are the 2 that I don't really consider iconic ones. They have the toucan one for San Diego Comic-Con, which is how it was when I started going.
And the Comic-Con eye.
Yeah, with a 50 next to it, which, frankly, those are the 2 I think would have been nicer to have, but whatever. But the fact they feel the need to make collectibles in and of themselves.
They have a page about the museum.
Which opens next year. They've got another year before it opens. They're doing a big promotional fundraising thing this year called The Gathering. They've got a nice map of the upper level of the convention center at the center here, which I like. Some stuff on the mezzanine. Information about games, disabled services, off-site events, of which, of course, there's going to be a ton. Other hot tips, you know, bring credit cards and cash. Wow.
Oh, I like the lanyard hot tip. Keep your badge safe and secure. We encourage you to pick up the official Comic-Con lanyard in the sales pavilion when you arrive. Pro tip, you will need to tap your badge in and out at the RFID gates every day, so add a retractable clip to your lanyard and you'll never have to bend down to tap.
Geez, how thoughtful of them to provide one. It is handy, and I've had one, I think it's that Batman one, that stretches a little bit, and it does make it a lot easier, because a typical lanyard is going to have it about 4 to 6 inches shy of where you need it to be to tap in, tap out. Little unfortunate they couldn't get those things a little higher off the ground, but there's a ton of them, so I understand that problem. And then they've got the shuttle schedule and the shuttle map. So, some decent information to get you started or whatever. Certainly, I think the key to any good convention is advanced preparation.
Yes.
So nice to have all of this a good couple of weeks before going to Comic-Con.
We actually had 1 year where our badges arrived at our mailbox after we had technically started driving out of town and we hadn't yet hit the city line and had to double back because we got a call on the cell phones saying our badges had been delivered to the mailbox.
That was, I think, the year that, despite having filled out all the paperwork and stuff, it just fell through the cracks on their end, something like that. But 2 weeks prior to Comic-Con, we had never heard back if we'd gotten approved or not.
Yeah. So
it happens.
Yeah, it's nice to have badges this early.
Yes, very much appreciated. Hopefully that's a sign of everything running very smoothly for us this year at Con.
Yes.
Anything else?
Nope.
Cool. Okay, this next item is about 9 inches by about 12 inches. What is this item?
I've been accepted to Hogwarts.
So you have.
I figured you'd have to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
It was even delivered to me under the cupboard.
Uh-huh, on Parvel Drive and all of that. It's the Hogwarts acceptance package with an acceptance letter, personalized envelope, Marauder. They've got text on the bag saying, "Hey, don't suffocate yourself with it." It's blocking stuff.
You can open it.
All right. Just wanted to be sure first.
Yes. I figure we're not the only Harry Potter fans, so I would share my acceptance letter.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's got a personalized acceptance or personalized envelope, acceptance letter, Marauder's map, Hogwarts Express train ticket, night bus ticket, and that's a K-N-I-T-N-I. It's a knight with a K, and I misspelled it, so oh well, and it's right there, and a mystery gift. So that is the just the back of the thing. So we've got the acceptance letter. Oh, you have not been accepted. No, okay.
John, it's like college acceptance letters all over again. It was a thick envelope.
Okay, so there's that.
It's flat and frameable.
So we've got the platform ticket, which almost feels like it could be a, maybe not a sticker, but maybe. It's got that texture to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And then the night bus ticket, personalized envelope.
It even has a fake wax seal printed into the envelope.
Nice.
I give them attention to detail points. Okay, the map is folded wacky style.
Yeah, it folds out from the center and the two sides kind of sort of do and don't overlap.
It's like an accordion pleated map as opposed to a traditional fold.
And then the mystery gift is what looks like a wand kind of keychain.
Oh, nice.
So definitely interesting. And if you're a Harry Potter fan or have a kid that is, I think it's definitely worth checking out and considering.
I mean, it seems to me if you've got a kid who's a Harry Potter fan and you timed its arrival to like right at the beginning of the school year or right at the end of the school year, you could have fun with it.
Midway is the summer's winding down kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool.
Okay.
Okay, this next item is magazine sized.
Because it is a magazine.
I was going to say, because it is a magazine, but you beat me to it. It is Entertainment Weekly, and it is for the week of July 5th, I believe.
Now, what is interesting is, to my knowledge, this is the last weekly issue of Entertainment Weekly.
So Entertainment Weekly is going monthly?
Yes.
And keeping the name?
That's my understanding. I was offered a really great subscription rate on Entertainment Weekly.
Free?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty good.
That's about the rate I like. But knowing that they were switching to monthly, I went ahead and I signed up because I was curious to see how the magazine will go through this change. They got a new editor-in-chief. The previous one had been there, I believe, over a decade and left, which is part of why the changes are taking place now. The new editor-in-chief sees online, social media, all those things as the future, which I think most people will agree. That is the future. So he wants to still have the monthly printed product for the people who like the printed product, mm-hmm. but wants to capitalize on the online stuff. The last time I had looked at an Entertainment Weekly, my first reaction was, this is incredibly thin physically.
I was noticing that too. I was flipping through it to see if I could find like page numbers near the back. If this is more than 48 pages, I would be surprised.
Me too.
It feels incredibly thin, which isn't a bad thing. I think magazine readership is dropping off. And so much of this is covered. I mean, there are page numbers there.
Right, but 44 is within...
So 48 pages plus the cover?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're usually 8-page signatures, I think. Magazine readership is dropping off. This is the kind of information that you're going to be getting on websites, on Entertainment Tonight TV shows, if those are still around.
People consider online more timely.
Oh, yeah.
For this material. They still do the book reviews. They still do the movie reviews. They still do the television reviews and the what to watch. And then they try to do the timely articles that they hope will also be timeless, if you know what I mean. What actors are openly gay in their personal life as well as their professional life, but aren't doing it to make a statement or wave a flag, but are doing it because, you know what, the Stonewall riots were 50 years ago, and if the past 50 years have taught us anything, than seeing men holding men's hands and women holding women's hands will help raise a generation that doesn't look at that like it's strange.
Yeah, interesting. I can see where there are going to be certain stories that, because it's a really big movie or because it's on a more timeless topic or something, makes a little more sense as a magazine. I think there's also some stuff where length of article could play in terms of maybe magazine readers have a longer attention span.
Interesting idea.
And there's certain things that conceivably are easier to do in a magazine than on a web page. The inverse is also true.
Well, People Magazine has been experimenting with doing a 2-4 page article that will have, say, the cast from Who's the Boss mm-hmm. was reunited for an interview. And then at the end of the article, it says, now go to our website for a special behind the scenes video interview with these cast members and see what didn't make it into the article.
At which point, you're driving people to the website, so why continue getting the magazine as part of it?
Each has different information, is their intent.
No, I get that.
But they're trying to get the two audiences to, I guess, cross-pollinate, to go between the two mediums. Mm-hmm. The cover article on this Entertainment Weekly is Jason Statham, The Rock, and Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm. For Hobbs and Shaw, the spinoff of the Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah. You know, big names, the kind of thing that I think they hope the diehard fans will want to keep the mm-hmm. article. I mean, I'm assuming that's their logic.
Certainly, it's a franchise that's been going on for a ton of movies. So the fact it's spinning out and stuff with people who've been in it and stuff, it makes sense to showcase that. It's interesting because when I was getting out of college, I had thought about going into publishing. And one of the things was going to be publishing magazines about comics. I thought I had an angle on it that could work. Now, that was in 1992. Image Comics was just about to start. Wizard Magazine either just had started or was just about to start. There were at least five or six other magazines about comics. So there was a market there. Whereas I think if I had gone down that publishing path, it would have conceivably worked initially. Maybe it wouldn't have. But even if it had, I don't think it certainly would have lasted to today.
Yeah.
It would have had to transition to a website. It would have had to go through a couple of different iterations of monetization on the web, because people are expecting that kind of content for free in a lot of cases. So I'm not surprised Entertainment Weekly is going to the web and such. I really think transmedia is the way for those kinds of entities to go. Do video, do web, do print, do whatever you can to kind of become a information authority source.
Yeah.
And I think that's, again, the way to go on that. But I think it's the days are closing for a lot of things that we used to be getting in terms of magazines. I think informative magazines that need to be timely, that's a harder and harder sell.
Yeah. Well, and I have the feeling that Entertainment Weekly may gradually skew towards, because they like to set up the photo shoots mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. I think they may gradually skew towards something that the autograph collectors and the diehard fans pick up with hopes of getting it signed by their favorite celebrity.
Certainly, I can understand that. And there's a couple of magazines that at Comic-Con they're handing out for those sorts of purposes. So I think there's a market for that. There's an aspect of wanting the tangible. And I think there's certain things like doing a magazine on the first 10 years of Marvel Studios, all their movies and that kind of a thing. You can do a visual presentation there in a magazine. Not that you couldn't do it on the web, but it wouldn't have the same
It has a impact. Different feel, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious if the first monthly issue of Entertainment Weekly, first of all, will be called Entertainment Weekly, but second of all, I'm curious if it'll only be 48 pages.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting. I think kind of being able to compare and contrast this issue with that next issue, could be very telling in terms of, does it have the same features? Certainly, does it have the same page count? And things can happen in the course of a week.
Yeah.
But a ton can happen in the course of a month.
Well, and I'm also curious if, and I haven't looked in terms of parent companies, but I'm curious if they're going to go the way of people in terms of having more and more articles ending with, and don't forget to check on our website for either more information or this, that, or and the other.
Updates since the story broke kind of a deal.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, they could easily do 1 month's issue where, hey, here's the new fall TV season or something.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because between that coming out and the next issue coming out, who knows what shows are even still on the air.
Well, if you go towards the back for the what to watch, they usually have the most interesting shows or the what to watch TV shows in the coming week. And that takes 4 pages at most, I think. It takes several pages. But that's 1 week. Now, if you're trying to do an entire month, conceivably, that's a much bigger page count.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of what I'm seeing as I'm flipping through this, first off, full page ads.
Yes.
So kudos on them being able to sell that. But that takes a different form on the web. But a lot of the content here are paragraph long things.
Yes.
You know, like a paragraph on Veronica Mars. Versus, again, this isn't, I mean, they've got another article on Goodbye Suits, Hello Pearson, and it's split across 2 pages, but both have kind of a half page ad, so.
I was going to say that to me looks like a 1 page article.
It is. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know how many people are going to read more than that.
But I think you've just hit the beginning of the what to watch on TV section. So including the very big.
Yeah.
Faceplate, it's got 1 page, 2 pages, 3 pages.
Five pages. Because then we hit actually maybe part of a sixth.
Okay, and that's for 1 week.
And then we hit music. So 6 for a week.
So does that mean they're going to give it 24 for a month?
Oh, almost certainly not. I would be shocked if they did.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I don't think it scales that way. Because it's not that you've got 4 weeks of content to cover. It's that you've got 3 weeks of irrelevant content to not cover.
Yeah.
And it's hard because some of the content that's relevant may be from that first week. Some may not be. It comes down to when the issue is going to see print versus when they've got to have it ready to print.
Well, and I've never paid attention to how many shows were getting covered multiple times in a season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like Game of Thrones, it may have been getting mentioned in What to Watch week after week after week because they considered it must watch.
Because it's a hot show versus something else that's not.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting because certainly I think there are times where like having a fall preview issue to flip through, oh, I stumbled across this. It was an interesting picture. But if you see it on a website and you see a link on a schedule, you'll just click on the ones that look interesting or something.
And they used to, as I recall, divide their fall preview between 2 issues, 1 returning shows, 1 new shows.
Mm.
But if you're now monthly, you're almost obligated to put that all in 1 issue.
Oh, absolutely. And if you go with kind of that mid-season switchover of shows, that's 2 out of 12 issues kind of already set up. You're going to have another when it's time for either Emmys or Oscars or award season du jour.
Olympics.
Olympics or summer binge watching or whatever.
Yeah.
So it certainly simplifies their content potentially in terms of how to pick it. Going to be interesting to see how it goes. I'm particularly curious about the naming.
Me too.
Entertainment Weekly is their brand. Flipping it to Entertainment Monthly is a change, not a devastating one. But switching it to Entertainment Weekly on a monthly basis, kind of awkward.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.